time to wake up. It's Saturday morning. Find some milk and cereal. Grab a bowl and spoon. No, a bigger spoon. Head to the living room and take a seat on the floor while Joseph and Chris present to you
Saturday Morning Cartoon!
Hello everybody and welcome to Saturday Morning Cartoon Boom! This is a show where we wake up with a Saturday morning sun, plop down the living room floor with a big bowl of sugary cereal, and watch all your favorite cartoons, both old and new. I'm Joseph.
And I'm Chris.
And this morning, we watch The Grim Adventures of Billy and Mandy.
You know, they do that thing where it shows, like, the kids' skeletons, and then their muscle groups, and then the skin.
Yeah.
Like, Mandy, for whatever reason, when it was just her muscles, she looked like something from Binding of Isaac, and it was gross.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was just because her like round head and all the meat and stuff.
Did she have gross. A nose in the muscle form? I can't remember.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Yeah, that's probably why it looked weird too.
I was like, ugh. This was suggested by Carter via YouTube. This is totally not the CIA or FBI via YouTube. And One Hot Cop via iTunes review.
Wow.
So thank you all three of you for sending us this request.
Yeah, thank you guys. So the show, The Grim Adventures of Billy and Mandy, ran from 2001 to 2007, created by Maxwell Adams, produced by Cartoon Network Studios and Hanna-Barbera, at least the pilot was produced by Hanna-Barbera, ran for 7 seasons, 79 episodes on the Cartoon Network. For a short synopsis, a show featuring the exploits of the Grim Reaper forced into being the best friend of two children. That's a very plain way to look at it, but yeah, pretty true.
I mean, that's, I guess, the basics.
Yeah, I mean, for a synopsis, good job.
Yeah.
So, Chris, who were some of the actors you played in this show?
All right, so the voices of Billy and his father, Harold, were done by Richard Steven Horvitz, who is also the voice of Alpha 5 from Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the voice of Zim from Invader Zim, and the voice of Daggett from Angry Beavers.
Oh, wow, I didn't know all that. Nice.
Yeah. The voice of Mandy was Gray Delisle Griffin, one of my personal celebrity crushes. She's had huge roles in so many cartoons, I can't even come close to naming all of them. But we have covered several of them before, like Shaolin Showdown, and she was Azula in Avatar The Last Airbender. She also lends her voice to tons of Marvel cartoon shows. I mean, tons and tons and tons and tons. Then the voice of Grimm was Greg Eagles. He has, like, the coolest voice ever. He was also the voice of Jax in Mortal Kombat 10. The voice of Gladys, which was Billy's mother, was Jennifer Hale, who we've also talked about a lot. She is one of the highest sought voice actresses, even like voice actors, in the entire business. She's won lots of awards. She's had roles in pretty much every single Marvel animation from the 90s onward. She was in Johnny Bravo, Powerpuff Girls, Shaolin Showdown, The Clone Wars, Totally Spies, and very well known for voicing Commander Shepard in the Mass Effect series. Which was kind of her standout role in video games. And finally, the voice of their friend Erwin was Vanessa Marshall, who has also been in lots of video games, including Mass Effect, as well as several Marvel animations, just like some of the others, from 2010 onward. And we didn't even get to see Erwin, I don't think. No, we did.
Yeah,
we did. I guess we did
we
see
saw him
in one
couple
episode.
Times, yeah.
Yeah, it was just like, he was only around for a few seconds when we watched.
Yeah, there was no Erwin-heavy episodes, which is unfortunate because I liked his character.
Yeah, he was kind of fun.
So for a few tasty marshmallows out of our big bowl of Grim Adventure cereal, the spooky droning gibberish playing at the end credits in a creepy voice is Maxwell Adams talking backwards, saying, "No, no, this is the end of the show. You're watching it backwards." So if you were to play it backwards, that's what it would tell you.
That's really funny. What a weird, yeah. What a weird joke to throw in there, but
it's a weird thing to add, but I have to listen to it like that now. Also, originally, Maxwell Adams wanted Grimm to speak in a British accent and had Jonathan Harris in mind to voice him, but when Greg Eagles auditioned and spoke in a Jamaican accent, he was impressed and had him retooled entirely. So, I think for the better, because it made it even more hilarious that he had that Jamaican accent.
I loved it. And, you know, and this was interesting to me. So, I've been working on an episode for my other podcast, Know the Lore, and there's a character in that with a West African accent. And I noticed that there's actually a lot of similarities between how the character I was covering on that show talks and between Grimm on this show. So it's like, oh man, like that kind of makes sense because I mean, there's probably some ancestral things going on there as far as like the language and everything like that. So I was like, ah, I'm connecting pieces. I'm nice. Connecting the dots.
And they're not the same voice actor, though?
No, not the same voice actor. It's just like the accents are very similar.
Oh, okay. Nice.
That's and so I thought that was cool.
Yeah, yeah. And lastly, this show started as a short film made by the creator Maxwell Adams back in 1996. The film is about Billy wanting his inner demons out of him and Mandy wanting to saw him in half, and Grimm would emerge during that process. The film has not emerged since it's in a film role, according to Adams, but there is a picture of what the film looked like. Billy looks pretty much the same, but Mandy has major differences than her appearance in the show. She has pigtails, she has an evil smile, and she has a nose. So, yeah, Mandy's way different, but Billy's pretty much the same.
Oh, you know, I didn't even, like, realize that she doesn't have a nose, does she?
No. That's why I was asking if her muscle thing had a nose.
Oh, weird.
Okay. Yeah. She's kind of like Krillin from Dragon Ball.
Yeah, exactly.
And I guess various other characters. Did, what's the kid's name from Shaolin Showdown?
Omi. And you are correct, I think. I don't think he's got a nose.
Nice. Yeah, I wonder what it is. Because Krillin was a monk, too. So I wonder if it was like a monk thing, at least as far as those two are concerned.
Yeah, Omi has no nose. Interesting.
Hmm, interesting.
Hmm, indeed.
Hmm. Well, Chris.
Indubitably.
What memories do you have of this show?
Not a lot. Like, I do remember catching it a few times on Cartoon Network, but I don't think I ever really watched it much. I vaguely remember not liking it with the clips that I did see, but I do remember enjoying the idea of Grimm, like a Jamaican Grim Reaper, I thought was funny. Yeah. And I loved it.
Yeah.
But the show itself, I did not care for at all.
Back then or even now?
Back then, and I'll get to now.
That's fair. Yeah, it's kind of the same. Like, I knew it was coming on Cartoon Network back in, you know, whenever, 2001 forward, but I don't think I ever caught an episode. And I don't know why. It seemed like something that would have interested me. And, you know, watching it, I did enjoy it, but I'll get to that. But yeah, so overall, neither of us really watched much of it.
Nope.
So let's go ahead and jump right into the three episodes we watched for today's show. Very first episode, highest rated episode, finally random listener chosen episode. What have been varied depending on how these episodes fall chronologically, but of course we have to start with the very first episode being Meet the Reaper, Season 1, Episode 1A. Oh, also, these are really like short episodes. Some of them very, very short, like 7 to 11 minutes, I would say, for the most part.
Right.
And so we just watch segments, not the entire episode, because then it would just become really clustered and confusing.
Yeah, that kind of happened with, like, so a long time ago we did Shin Chan, and that was like 3 segments per episode, and I think people got lost in that one. I mean, I got lost, like, listening to our own show, so yeah.
Yeah, so we learn from our mistakes sometimes, and in this case, this one is the very first segment of the first episode. So in Meet the Reaper, Billy and Mandy, two neighbor kids, play a game with the Grim Reaper for the soul of a sick hamster. That's pretty accurate.
Yeah, that's true. That does happen. Well, one thing I like is at least two of the episodes we watched, maybe all of them, I don't remember, because one of the episodes we did the second half and not the first half. But before like the episode really starts, it shows like Mandy just against a black background saying something. This one, she just popped up and said, whatever you do, don't look behind you. And I thought that was kind of funny because I was like, what? Why?
Oh, then, yeah.
I don't know. I thought that was kind of clever.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird. It's almost like if you think about, well, I'm trying to think, like Animaniacs kind of had something like that where it was a different kind of intro every time. And this is like supplement to the intro where it segues into the actual show. Just Mandy saying random things.
One thing I can say right off the bat, and I'm just going to get this off my chest. I hate Billy.
Oh.
I hate him so much. I hate his voice. I hate everything about him. He is the worst character. Like, oh my God, I hate him so much. So much.
Chris, it seems like you have strong feelings about Billy.
Well, yeah. So remember when I said I hated this cartoon, like or I just really didn't care for it, the clips I saw. Yeah. He's the reason why. Billy is why I hated this when I was younger. And he is why I'm going to have a lot of issues with it as we talk about it. So let's just start off on that and get that out there so I don't have to keep going it's back.
Good to put everything out on the table.
Yeah, yeah. How much he sucks.
Where does he rate as far as worst characters we've seen go?
He's in the top 5.
Oh, wow. That's saying a lot, because there's some pretty bad ones we've seen.
Yeah, I mean, like, he could be dethroned easily, but he's in the top five.
Because there's Doc from...
Yes, Adventures of the Galaxy Rangers.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, there's also with the kid from Mask.
No, I like the kid from Mask just because he was so dumb.
He's such an idiot. There's also Slimer from Slimer and the Real Ghostbusters.
Oh, yeah, that was terrible.
Yeah, and there's been a few others. Chief from Carmen Sandiego was pretty bad.
Oh, wait. You know what? For me, here's what we could compare it to or parallel it to with something recently. When we watched, what was the show that had all of the clones of the historical figures in high school?
Oh, Clone High. Gandhi. Yes, Gandhi is.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say.
Definitely in the
top. He's the Gandhi of this show, though.
Yeah, he's awful.
Yeah, he's pretty bad.
Like, I could stand Gandhi more than I can stand Billy.
Really? I don't know. Billy, he seemed like Billy fit better in this show dynamic than Gandhi fit in that show dynamic. Gandhi felt very forced.
I'll give him that. I mean, he fit the mood of the show.
Yeah.
Better than Gandhi fit the mood of Clone High. But Billy's way more irritating to me.
he does get very irritating because he's constantly shouting and doing the dumbest things.
I hate his voice so much, dude. Oh. It is the most nails on chalkboard voice we have heard yet. To me.
I couldn't even replicate it. That's pretty accurate.
That's what he sounds like.
That's pretty much him all the time. Yeah. So in this one, basically it's the hamster Mr. Snuggles' 10th birthday, and Mandy comes in the room while Billy's playing with some toys.
Oh, they're outside first.
Oh, they are outside. Yeah,
they're outside playing
because she uses he's playing with army men and a monster. And then a monster toy. And then she comes in with he makes the army man and the monster toy fall in love or something. And then she comes in with the magnifying glass and says that the monster starts using his brain melting heat vision or something on him and melts the army man's head, which is pretty funny.
Oh yeah, man. I used to do that so much as a kid. I was a little bit of a pyro. I was constantly melting toys and none of the cool stuff. Like I wouldn't melt my Transformers or G.I. Joes or anything, but army men or those really cheap action figures you'd get from the dollar store are knockoffs of you would find something that looks kind of like a Terminator, but it would say Timinator or something.
Yeah, like the Spanish version.
Yeah. You would get those and you would burn them with a magnifying glass. Timinator. Or I used to sneak the little can of gasoline my dad would use for the lawnmower.
Oh, wow.
And just douse a little bit on maybe one of the toys or something. Throw a firecracker at it or light it with the barbecue grill lighter and stuff. Wow. Yeah, that was a little bit of a pyro.
A little bit, yeah, with lighter fluid, sure.
yeah.
I think that's what army men were made for, though, in part. Just disposable infantry, literally and figuratively.
I can't imagine how much of that black smoke I inhaled as a child.
That's probably what added, or what's adding to a lot of the pollution or whatever, is just melted army men.
Exactly.
But so they're playing with the toys, or Billy's playing with the toys. Mandy comes in, melts them. So we get the kind of the dynamic right off the bat that they're friends, but she's like the alpha of the two. And
easily.
Very much so. And she's got a very dry voice, I guess, where she constantly just talks very monotone and all that. You know, he's doing the duh thing like you were saying earlier just all the time.
The best way I can describe it is Mandy seems like the kind of girl that's going to grow up to be either a very cutthroat politician or a serial murderer or both.
Yeah,
probably both. But Billy is going to grow up to be the guy that gets workers' comp because he accidentally sticks his hand in the fry grease at McDonald's.
Yeah.
And doesn't have to work anymore.
There you go. That's true. Yes. That's a good way to look at it. Yep. So they eventually go inside. It's Mr. Snuggles' birthday, his 10th birthday, which is, I think, very old for a hamster. I don't know how long hamsters usually live.
Hamsters are supposed to live that old. And dude looked like he was ready to die.
Yeah. Well, that's even Mandy says, he looks like he's ready to kick the bucket. And
yep.
Billy has him do this trick or something, and the trick is just the hamster like going crazy and then biting his nose. And that comes back later, actually. It comes full circle with that. So it's important to note that.
He says, kiss, kiss.
Kiss, kiss. That's it. That's right. And that's what sets the hamster off. And the hamster is like fuming. Like, he is just furious when he hears those two words. And it's so funny. What brings the Grim Reaper into the picture is because the hamster is literally like his last day on Earth, because the Grim Reaper comes in to claim him, to take his life. It starts with like a swirling vortex of pure evil coming out of the floor, I think is what they call it. And then
I like it.
He comes in, he just wants to, you know, get it over with. And then Mandy ends up challenging him to a game, and he's assuming, because he's all powerful, that he can win any game. And it doesn't even seem like he didn't have really anything to benefit from playing this game, because all he was going to get was the hamster. And then it's like, well, you're going to get that anyway, so what's the point?
Well, yeah, this doesn't make sense to me. Well, he takes them to Limbo to play Limbo. That's the game.
Yeah.
And, I also do like the part where Mandy's like trying to like, you know, persuade him, and she's having like a tea party, and he drinks the tea and it just goes through him.
Oh yeah, true.
And they're like, you stained your dress. And Billy thinks that Grimm is Santa Claus at first.
Oh yes.
Billy's just an idiot. But so they go to Limbo to play Limbo, and the wager is that if he wins, he gets Mr. Snuggles. If the kids win, and I don't know why he comes up with this, he's just like, if you win, I'll be your best friend forever.
Yeah, like that's his own wager. It didn't make sense.
Yeah, why? No.
I think I think a lot of it was like this show, and not to the degree that Toxic Crusaders did it, but this show didn't take itself too seriously as far as like pushing the plot lines along. It just kind of did it just for fun, kind of like it even like calls itself out sometimes on how ridiculous some of the transitions are. But this kind of being one of them, where it's like, oh, well, randomly, he's going to be your best friend just because that's the easy way to make this show happen from now on. They start playing Limbo. He keeps putting it lower and lower, of course. And him being a skeleton, he thinks he's got it made. So he keeps going under. And then this is where the hamster, Mr. Snuggles, comes back into play. Mandy does the kiss kiss thing, sets the hamster off. He runs in. The hamster jumps in, bites Grimm's, I guess, just face, because he doesn't have a nose, but bites his face.
Well, because I think Mr. Snuggles like jumped into his skull, like through his eye socket.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then popped out and bit him somewhere.
Yeah. And then that's while he was, you know, doing the limbo under the bar. And so that makes him jump up and knock the bar over and basically losing.
But I'm like, it's cheating, you know.
It is cheating, but there were never any rules set. So it's like, well, the deal's a deal kind of thing.
And so basically, I think the next thing we see is like Billy and Mandy are tucked into bed, and Billy is hanging out with Grimm's body, having a sleepover, while Mandy is hanging out with Grimm's head
and
in her bed.
So they're like, you can sleep over at both our houses.
And
he's just like, why me kind of thing.
I feel bad for Grimm, man. But I mean, he made a mistake.
He made a bad deal from the start.
Mistakes were made. So there's two things that I wanted to add to this. One is, have you ever played the game Undertale?
No.
No? Okay. Well, if anyone listening has ever played Undertale, the design for Papyrus reminds me so much of Grimm. Like, I feel like they had to have taken some sort of cue from it, or maybe not meaning to, but because Grimm has, you know, he's a skeleton, so he's a skull, but his skull is very long and elongated with a long jaw, and that's how a Papyrus is designed. In Undertale, he's a skeleton with a very, like, his head is very similar. It's very long with a long jaw. So I just thought that was kind of cool and wanted to point that out, because I do like Undertale quite a bit, and Papyrus is hilarious. The other thing that I got to give the writers credit for that stood out to me, and this might be because I'm old and dumb and think of this stuff, but there's a really, really old movie called The Seventh Seal. And in that movie, like, the big thing is basically towards the end, and this is like the focal point of the movie, is this guy is playing a game against death, and they have a wager. And I thought that was kind of cool, because I feel like maybe in a roundabout way, that was sort of like a, you know, just kind of like a hint for the adults. It's just like, hey, like, we know some things, you know, in like cinema history. Here you go. Here's a tiny little homage for you. But nice. Yeah, I thought that was cool. Like, I watched that film while I was studying motion picture history in college. So it immediately reminded me of that.
Sweet. Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen that, but I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, it stars, the newest Star Wars movie, not Rogue One, but the Star Wars one.
Uh-huh.
The guy, the older man in the village that dies towards the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
That actor, do you remember his name?
No, not off the top of my head.
Okay. Well, anyway, that's the guy from The Seventh Seal.
Okay, he'll just be the guy.
Yes.
That guy. And,
like, Max von Sydow is the name of the guy that challenges death in The Seventh Seal.
Oh, well, I would have never guessed that.
It's a very cool movie. It's kind of like, I believe, a war-torn village in winter or something, and they're starving to death. And so he plays a game against death to, I believe, spare his family. So it's pretty interesting.
Interesting segue. Not even a segue, really, but we're going to jump over to the next episode anyway. Mandy Bites Dog, Season 3, Episode 4, C. And what's interesting, actually, is that this on Wikipedia is marked as Season 2, Episode 4, C. So I can't confirm what the actual truth to it is.
Yeah, I had some trouble finding the right episode because of that.
So it might be one of those things where it's like on DVD release, it came out as season 3, but when it originally aired, it might have been season 2. So,
oh yeah, kind of like the whole Batman the Animated Series thing.
Yeah, exactly.
The seasons are all screwed up.
Yeah, where it became basically a different show, but they connected them.
Yeah, that was really confusing too.
Yeah, so Mandy Bites Dog, though, is definitely the title of it. And yes. Was this the listener pick?
This was picked by both Carter and One Hot Cop. They both suggested the same one.
Oh, nice. Well, that's very convenient. And
nice job, guys.
Yeah, good job. And Mandy, in this one, Mandy borrows Grimm's hellhound to scare Mindy's dog. Okay.
And can I say just real quick?
Yeah.
To both Carter and One Hot Cop, thank you so much for choosing this episode as your pick, because Billy was hardly in it. And that made it enjoyable. Like, I enjoyed this when he was not there.
Nice.
I was like, man, this is a good show. And then we got to the next episode. I'm like, nope, never mind.
Yeah, a Billy-centric episode.
Yep.
Yeah, but this one, yeah. So Mindy is kind of the anti-Mandy or counter-Mandy. I mean, obviously their names are so similar.
She's still mean, but...
She's still mean, but she's like the prissy mean girl.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's... Oh, yeah. And Billy actually leaves at the beginning of this one. So he has an excuse for not being here. He's...
Thank God.
He's like, hey, nerds, guess who's going camping this weekend? Me! And then he just leaves and he's gone for a while. So he's gone. We see that Mandy has a dog named Saliva, who I'm sure was introduced long before this episode.
Yeah.
And his name is Saliva because he literally is drooling all the time everywhere.
He's the dog version of Billy.
Yeah, except minus the voice.
The noise.
Yeah. We see Mindy come up with... Saying Mindy and Mandy a lot is going to be confusing.
Yes.
Probably. But we see Mindy come up with her toy chihuahua, Little Delicious, which I thought was a really funny name.
That was funny.
And
remind me of a little cupcake or something.
Yeah. And then Saliva freaks out over this little dog. So we learn early on that Saliva is a coward, very cowardly dog. And Grimm starts bragging about his dog, Cerberus, who obviously the hellhound with three heads and everything. And he's just like, oh, yeah, like he listens to everything I say. He's a great dog and, you know, isn't scared of anything. And so Mandy ends up she has this whistle, Cerberus's whistle on her, because I think Billy took it from Grimm and lost it in a bet of some kind. And Mandy, she blows it. And then Grimm's like, no, like, what are you doing? I was just kidding. Like, he didn't just eat my homework. He also ate my dad and stuff like that.
Yeah, I like that part where he's just like, he ate my dad.
Yeah. And then this comet comes down and she's like, does that comet have a tail? And it ends up being Cerberus, who emerges, and he's pretty huge.
Oh, yeah. He's like skyscraper big.
He does have three heads, but it's funny because one of the heads is like a poodle head compared to the other two that are like vicious. I mean, the poodle head's vicious, but it just looks funny because it's got a bow in it and everything.
I thought that was great. Well, like, yeah, the right and middle head are Dobermans, it looks like. And then the head on the left is a poodle with a bow. I love it.
Yeah.
It's such a funny, like, that was a great design. I think that was a good idea.
It was smart. And then Grimm just runs away when Cerberus comes in.
Well, he tries.
Oh, yeah, true. Mandy ends up trying to tame Cerberus. And because, well, Grimm starts trying to, you know, tell him to, you know, sit or to stop or whatever, but he's not listening to him. So Mandy comes in, does the same thing, starts trying to be commanding, and then like slaps his nose with the newspaper. And immediately that's what makes Cerberus kind of submissive to Mandy.
Yeah, I thought that was really funny. Oh, like Cerberus ate Grimm, and Mandy had to make him spit him out.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah. All of him. Yeah, because he didn't spit him all out at first, so he had to get it all out. she throws a stick, and I think she says, like, fetch stick, and Saliva hears it, and he's kind of jealous of Mandy paying more attention to Cerberus, so he runs after the stick, and he comes back with a snake in his mouth.
Yes.
Like, he fetched a snake.
And bites the crap out of his face. Yeah,
bites all over his face. That's pretty good.
The actual stick lands in an RV that's driving by. So Cerberus brings the entire RV back.
It wasn't an RV. It was a Hummer, because the guy in the Hummer, like, we see him talking. He's like, you know, what I love about this car is just how safe I feel on the road, or how much safety I feel in a car this large.
Oh, yes.
And then that's when...
Of course.
Yeah, that's when Cerberus comes in, takes the car.
And there's like a bunch of like kind of random funny gags. Like one part, you just see Cerberus like pees on a tree and immediately catches fire burns down, which I thought that was pretty funny.
You know what they also had? Maybe this was in other episodes too. At one point when Saliva sees Mandy paying more attention to Cerberus, he starts crying. But what it does is it has one of those super close-ups like they used to do in Ren and Stimpy.
Yep.
And he's crying, and then he has like snot that's coming out of his nose. Snots and boogers come out of his nose. Looks like toothpaste. It's just so gross, but it's funny looking.
It looked like if you crack open a can of spinach, and if it all comes out like completely solid, like the shape of the can.
Yeah.
It looks like that's what came out of both nostrils.
Yeah.
It was sick.
It was gross. That's the first time I've seen snot or boogers, I guess, come out like that. So it was interesting.
Yeah, it was pretty nasty.
The whole reason Mandy was doing this in the first place was to show up Mindy. And so when Cerberus finally encounters Little Delicious, the Chihuahua, Little Delicious isn't scared at all. And Mindy starts talking trash to Mandy again, saying asking her what it feels like to be such a loser all the time. And then she calls this part was great. Like, this part made me laugh so much. She calls Mandy, Mindy calls Little Delicious, and they look over and she's getting married to Cerberus. Yes. Like, they're side by side. But what made me laugh was when Mindy reacted to it, and she just makes this really ugly face. It's like, Little Delicious, you tramp, come here right now.
Yeah, that made me laugh too. She called her a tramp.
How angry she sounded was what sold it. That was just great.
And of course, the dogs are married by this priest, and as they're leaving, and Cerberus steps on and like flattens Saliva like with both a front and a back paw.
Yeah.
And then right when you think it's over, then little Delicious just walks right over him too in her tiny footsteps.
Yeah. Mandy kind of gets the last laugh here, and she's like, don't worry, Mindy, one day somebody will love you, I guess. She asks Saliva to show her some love, and Saliva, with his huge tongue and slobber, licks Mindy. And she starts hardcore insulting him, like just really going off on him. Mindy does. And it's funny because it does this, that thing where it zooms in and keeps getting like deeper and deeper inside of Saliva's head. And then we see just a nerve just snap in his brain. Something literally snaps, and he goes feral for like a second. And he jumps at Mindy like he's about to attack her, and then just falls down, like goes back into stupid mode.
He's like foaming at the mouth and barking and growling and lunges at her. Mindy runs away and he just literally falls over and he's back to complete normal.
Right. And so it's kind of a heartwarming scene, I guess, where Mandy's like, Saliva, you really are a pathetic dog, but I guess you're my pathetic dog. And so all's well that ends well with that. And then, Well, yeah, true. And it's funny because like Grimm is in agreement with you, where he's like, no Cerberus, no Billy. Things are really starting to look up. And then that's when Billy comes back in to end the episode. And he's just like, guess what I got when we were camping? And Grimm's like, I'm sure I don't care. But he shows him, and it ends up being a little dog that is a perfect mix between Cerberus and Little Delicious.
Yeah, it's basically a tiny pink Cerberus.
Yeah, yep. The size of Little Delicious, but three heads and everything.
So, so funny.
It's pretty good. Yeah, I guess you're right, though, that without Billy, that episode was a lot more story driven and I guess less reliant on fart jokes, I guess.
Yeah, it was kind of enjoyable, like in a way. I mean, I'm not going to say it's like my favorite thing ever, but if the whole show was like that, I could definitely watch it, not really have much of a problem.
That's fair. So good pick, guys.
Yes, thank you.
And for the last episode we watched for today's show, Billy Gets an A, Season 7, Episode 3A, or if you're looking at Wikipedia, Season 6, Episode 3A, and this is the highest rated episode. In Billy Gets an A, Grimm magically changes Billy's grade from an F to an A, which disturbs the fabric of reality. Yep.
Also, don't think about polar bears.
Oh, yeah, that's... That was that's Mandy's the thing, opening for the episode.
Yeah, she's dressed as a polar bear and just says, don't think about polar bears. And then yeah. I was like, oh, man,
now that's all I can think about.
Hate it when that happens.
Quit thinking about polar bears. It opens at school, and we've got the teacher basically telling the class that to prepare for the final exam because it counts for 99.99999999 ongoing percent of the grade, and it'll go on your permanent record. So Billy's like, I plan on studying my butt off this time. And Mandy calls him out for having a short attention span and says, like, he's probably thinking of Mandy as a monster with a chicken body and tentacles of some kind. Oh, yes. With a gold chain. And
that's exactly what's happening.
Yeah. And we're seeing it happen as she's progressing through it that lays delightful chocolate filled eggs.
Well, instead it showed like a giant chocolate egg, like shoot out like with a fart noise and slam against Erwin.
Yeah. It's not as delicious as it sounds, Joe. Yeah, that's one thing about Erwin is he always says yo at the end of sentences.
Well, yeah, because they made him the black guy.
Oh, true. He's the token black kid.
I was like, come on, guys. We can be better than that.
One thing I did like about this episode was that they had like a scene transition. I don't know much about this guy. I know his name is Haas Delgado, and he's kind of inspired by Snake Plissken. And he has some other episodes. He's got an arm that's like detachable and has like different weapons on it. But
like a laser gun.
Exactly. A chainsaw. But we don't get to see much about him. Like, he's literally here as a transition device. And so Billy will call him in and saying, like, if you'll be so kind, Mr. Delgado. And he'll come in and be like, 1 week later, and have a bloody sign as he walks through.
Yeah, that's it.
That's his thing.
Well, we did see him shoot a kid with a laser gun and fry him.
Oh, true. Yeah.
Like, towards the very
end. He does do something.
And I was so confused at the beginning because, like, they're in this classroom and class lets out. He was in there. He shot that kid. And then once the class lets out and all the kids are running to the door, a ninja and a gorilla are with them running out the door. And I'm like, what the hell is going on?
It doesn't need to make sense. It's just,
yeah, it is. Like, they don't call any attention to it. There's no explanation. It's just there. I was like,
okay.
All right.
I wonder if that's one of those things. It's like continuity where at some point we see a gorilla and what was the other one?
A ninja.
A gorilla and a ninja join the class or something.
Like, maybe they were in other episodes
or
something.
Yeah, exactly. Because Haas Delgado was part of the class, too.
Yeah, I don't get why, but he is. The reason that Billy wants to do well on this test is so he can pass, so he can grow up to be a smart and successful businesswoman.
Yeah, exactly. That's what he says.
Oh, and then he starts farting.
Yeah. I mean, that's his thing. He's fart jokes personified.
He farts. Also, during a conversation between him and Grimm, Billy basically admits that he knows he's a cartoon.
Yeah.
Because he's like, I'm a cartoon or something about being a cartoon. And he's like, that's why I can do this. And he shoots like fountains of snot out of his nose.
No.
And his nose like explodes and deflates like a balloon.
Yeah. What he does is he pops his own nose because his nose is a big bubble.
Oh, that's right.
So he pops his own nose and just all this snot shoots out. So it's like,
yeah.
Okay. So here, that's one of those things like I was saying, comparing it to Toxic Crusaders, where it's like, it knows it's a cartoon. It doesn't take itself too seriously because they call themselves out and do stuff like that.
They're really pushing that Grimm's scythe is very magical.
Oh my God. This part was great. I love his
monologue
there. Yeah. First of all, and as we all would have expected, Billy gets an F on this paper. And so he's in his room kind of crying. Grimm walks in and asks him like, Billy, what's wrong? And then he's just like, I don't want to waste my time with your trouble. Or I don't want to waste your time with my troubles. And he's like, fine, see ya. Wouldn't want to be ya. And just like starts walking out. And then Billy jumps in and That's where the whole like cartoon nose and stuff happens, and where he was just expecting more of himself or whatever. Grimm starts telling him, you know, life is full of good times and bad times. Well, almost always bad times. And then then he's like, too bad you can't magically fix things like I can with my good old trusty scythe. As far as the plot goes, this is the focal point of it. And obviously something's going to happen with this scythe.
Yeah. So then Billy convinces Grimm to use his magical scythe to change his F to an A. But when he does that, he basically breaks time. And he doesn't just change the grade to be an A. He makes Billy like hyper intelligent. So like the next day he is, Mr. Delgado comes in again. He's like, the next day.
Yeah.
Billy's like answering all these math questions and stuff like that really quickly, like quicker than the teacher can even ask them. And he's like, scoff, 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 like at the teacher.
Race. Scoffing her lack of intelligence.
And there's just some really weird other things that happen. I didn't understand this one. Like they go back to Billy's house later and Grimm's like going to talk to Billy's mom, but it turns out that Billy's parents have become transgendered. So the dad is now acting as a female and the mom is now acting as the male, and they switched jobs and stuff like that. And I didn't like, did I miss something? Was there some sort of like reason for it? Cause I didn't understand. Yeah,
what I took it as, and maybe it was explained more in other episodes before this, but what I took it as is that the reason Billy's dumb is because he got more of his dad's genes, and his dad is obviously the idiot of the two of his parents. And so if they are reversed, then that means that he would have taken more of his mom's, who is now his dad's genes. And so that's why he's intelligent. That's how I took it.
And that's what like confused me too, is because they had the mom, but the mom wasn't like, Gladys wasn't a man. She was still a woman, but wearing a suit and had a job. And that's what confused me. Cause like, I was kind of thinking something along the same lines, but then I was like, but that wouldn't completely make sense either unless she was physically a man, but like it was very obvious she wasn't.
Yeah, I guess not.
So I don't know. I got really lost.
I guess I'm not sure entirely either, but that was my assumption, but you're right. I mean, she still did seem like a woman, so.
Yeah, I didn't get it, but sure. Then I like too that Grimm was trying to see what else had changed. So he goes to Manny. He's like, are you still the same heartless, despicable child as ever?
Oh, yeah. Are you still the same heartless, vile, despicable demon child you once were?
Right. Exactly.
And
I love that one.
And she says something and he's just like, still. Okay. Billy calls Grimm a simple minded ignoramus. And it's clear that the world is kind of falling apart because of what's happening. And yes. Billy. It shows a kind of a montage of Billy like beating Super Chess 1000 computer at chess, performing open heart surgery. Apparently he cures all diseases, wins a Nobel Peace Prize. Grimm is just like, we have to go back in time and change Billy's grade back to an F because like everything around them is kind of crumpling. He and Mandy go back in time, but they're going just through this time tunnel, kind of like Mr. Peabody and what is the kid's name?
Sherman.
Sherman, yeah. Sherman and Mr. Peabody. But Mandy asks him like, why aren't we doing this in a time machine? And he's like, well, excuse me for not being able to afford to go back in time in a goofy 80s European sports car or something. Obviously a reference to Back to the Future's DeLorean.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, that was pretty good. We see these like time traveling things where he goes back to stop himself from changing Billy's grade. And while he is arguing with himself, Billy, the Billy there steals his scythe and does it anyway. And so then they're like, all right, we have to go further back in time to make Billy study for his test so he'll never ask us to change his grade. He studies for it. He still makes an F. So then they have to go back further in time to stop Billy from ever being born.
And oh, man, I wish that would have worked.
They're not successful. It doesn't even seem like they're doing anything. They just like sit there in the waiting room with Harold and the people come out and like, Harold, I'm happy to say it's a human. And then everybody's just like, no. And then they go further back in time to before like any of this happened to like a Japanese feudal era, and where they're making a deal of some kind of arranged marriage, and that's successful. So everybody's like, no, again. And then they go back to prehistoric times where prehistoric Dino Billy first tries to walk onto land, and then he's successful. Yes. And so they're, again, they're just like, no.
And at this point, there's like hundreds of Grimms.
Yeah. Every Grimm from every timeline is like coming in on this party to stop Billy from being born. And then it's like, well, we've been through hundreds and hundreds of portals over centuries and centuries. Who knows how this will all end? And then it's just like the end, exclamation point. And it's over. Like, there's no resolution at all to it, which is kind of funny.
Yeah, I was like, what the heck? It just ended. And I liked that. I thought that was a funny gag. Yeah. I enjoyed that. And once again, I wanted to point out something here is that in this episode, because Billy had changed and because they were trying to go back in time to stop him, there was several minutes that Billy wasn't really prominently featured and he didn't have a speaking part.
Yeah.
And that was enjoyable. Like, that part was totally fine with me.
That really made a big difference to you.
It honestly did.
Now we know. Chris hates Billy. All Billies.
Yeah, definitely. At least most.
So I'm sorry if there's any listeners who are named Billy. The name Billy infuriates him.
It's like saying kiss, kiss to Mr. Snuggles.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Chris, looks like it's about time we travel back in time without the use of a goofy 80s European sports car to see what our inner kids thought of the grim adventures of Billy and Mandy.
I thought Billy was really stupid, and I kind of hate him. But I could be friends with Mandy and Grimm as long as they don't get mad at me when I light things on fire and irreparably damage reality with a magic scythe. I had to give this cartoon 2.5 bowls of Mr. Snugglebite cereal out of 5.
This cartoon never really took the time to elaborate too much on the details or logic behind getting from point A to point B, just so long as it got there. In that way, it understood that it was a cartoon and very much used cartoon logic, sometimes literally, to move the plot along. As much as that may sound like I'm judging the show for this, I kind of ended up appreciating that about it. Why is Grimm Jamaican? I don't know, but who cares? It's just funnier that way. It was weird, quirky, and a little dark, had some distinct characters, and, thanks to the short episode link, never felt like it overstayed its welcome. Overall, I give The Grim Adventures of Billy and Mandy 3.5 big bowls of scuff cereal out of 5, and definitely recommend checking it out for a quick laugh. What I mainly took away from all this was that I wish I had my own House Delgado to transition scenes for me. Mr. Delgado, if you would be so kind.
26 years later.
All right, so we can keep moving and not have to talk about Billy much longer. Do you have any final thoughts about this show?
For me, I think it was a pretty funny show. I wasn't as annoyed by Billy as you were, but I do see your point. In those episodes, or in the moments of the episodes that he wasn't there, I really did enjoy where it was going with it, and I appreciate Mandy and Grimm as characters much more. I'm a fan of those cartoons that do like really short episodes within each episode, just because it's just kind of I don't feel like I have to commit much time to it. And I think that actually benefited this show because there were times obviously where, you know, the one episode where it just ended without having any kind of resolution, where I think it tried to go on any longer, it would kind of overstretch and not be able to really fill the gaps. So this is one of those cartoons that benefits from being shorter, and I would say try to watch it as such. I don't think you can really blast through it and watch a ton of it at the same time, but every once in a while I think it's a nice treat.
Yeah, so the premise of this cartoon is interesting to me, and there are some fun tongue-in-cheek moments. And I honestly do like Mandy's character, and I think Grimm is really cool. But I hate Billy's character so much that for me personally, it was almost unwatchable for me. And I don't like saying that because I feel like that's a really, I don't know, that's a really basic, mean thing to say about a show. But I could not enjoy anything with him on the screen. I could not stand it when he was on. So luckily, we had one episode where he was barely there. We had a second episode where he was kind of not really there half the time. So I kind of lucked out in that respect. I would definitely not be able to watch another episode past what we did. I mean, and like I said, the episodes that he wasn't there, they were stronger. They were more enjoyable for me. And that's basically why I gave this a 2.5, because I know that he is a prominent character in all the other episodes. So like I could tell going in, unless Billy's not in an episode, it's not a show I'm going to enjoy. I mean, and that said too, like some of the other jokes that he wasn't involved in did fall a little flat, but this isn't aimed at my demographic. And I know for sure that the audience that this is aimed at really enjoys this cartoon enough that I got, you know, 6 or 7 seasons out of it, depending on which source you're looking at. But I mean, it ran for 79 episodes, so that's pretty successful for a television show. So I got to give them credit for that. Like, they knew who their audience was, and they catered to it, and that did well. It's just not for me.
Now, I do have a challenge for Carter. If you would please draw Chris as Billy.
Oh, God.
That would be amazing. You can make me Mandy, I don't care, or Grim, or even Mr. Snuggles the hamster. It's whatever. Just please make Chris into Billy.
I hate you so much right now, Joseph. Jerk.
But thanks everybody who suggested this. It was Carter, One Hot Cop, and then definitely not the CIA.
This is totally not the CIA or FBI.
Okay. I love that name.
I'm glad that they made that clarification for us.
Yeah, no, totally believable.
And real quick, before we go, I just want to say a big thank you to Mondo Bizarro for giving us a 5-star review on iTunes.
Yeah.
And it reads, found the show while looking for a mask podcast, and it's great. Joseph and Chris are the perfect hosts for a show like this, as their sincere love of cartoons is apparent. Overall, I give the show 5 Jossam spoonfuls of Sawboss cereal out of 5.
I love that people keep using Sawboss.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I give the show 5 Jossam spoonfuls of Sawboss cereal out of 5.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. I had to fix that.
Right, know? Right. I love that people keep using Sawboss. It's just,
yeah, it's
I can't, so good. I mean, I feel like he's gotten more attention from our show than he ever did from anything else, period.
I'm pretty sure you're right. But the people need to know.
So Sawboss, I need to see some of those royalties.
Yeah. Give us some credit, Sawboss.
Yeah.
And some money. Give us that boss money.
Oh man, we're going to keep it alive just because we keep joking about it. I don't know. I'm sorry, or you're welcome. I don't know how people feel about Sawboss at this point.
I just love that there's even a meme out there about our show, and it features Sawboss. Yeah. So if anyone hasn't seen that, if you go to our subreddit, Cartoon Boom, the subreddit, you will see the meme.
Oh man, that is great. So thank you guys definitely for recommending the show. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks. Thank you, because now I know what show to avoid in the future.
Well, listeners, it looks like our milk supply has now run dry, so it's time for us to say goodbye. Next week, we'll be watching
Family Guy, suggested via Facebook by Patrick.
Oh, what's this Family Guy show? Never heard of it. Have not watched this one.
I don't know what that is.
Unfamiliar.
Must be about a really nice family.
You got to be a 70s show of some sort.
Yeah, I'm sure it's like, you know, a nice little 70s style sitcom as a form of a cartoon, you know, full of lots of love and well-wishing.
Love, laughter. I'm sure there's a family pet who doesn't have a crush on the wife.
And I bet they have a little kid that's just a rascal.
Well, once again, I'm Joseph.
And I'm Chris.
And we'll see you next Saturday.
Presented by NerdSloth,
a place for lazy nerds.
If you like what you heard, consider donating at patreon.com/nerdsloth so we can continue bringing you quality shows. Be sure to also leave us a review and share your favorite episodes and clips on social media. If you're looking for more content, visit us at nerdsloth.com.